The book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 2, probably going to start around verse 4. Let's pray and then we'll go in. Father, thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for you, God. We thank you for your precious son, Jesus, that you gave each one of us the perfect gift. And I pray that today, Lord, that we will be able to understand your scripture. You'll so write it on our hearts that it will change us, that it will inspire us, that it will strengthen us to be different for you so that others can see our light and that others can see that and that you get all the glory and praise. You're good all by yourself, and we thank you for everything that you've done. Lord, I pray that you reveal your truth to us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Joshua chapter 2, you have Moses who has been leading the children of Israel. Moses has died. Joshua has been ordained or been placed the leader of the children of Israel by the Lord. God tells Joshua in so many scriptures, be strong and courageous. So you have Joshua that has sent these two spies into the land to check it out, and then they go into a city named Jericho. And my question today, if I had a title, would simply be, what will you hide for the Lord? What will I hide for the Lord? And instantly, most of us go, I'm a professional at hiding my doubts. I'm a professional at hiding my sin, my shortcomings. But that's not what I'm asking today. I'm asking today, what will you hide? What will you consider so special or so important or so precious that you're willing to hide it for the Lord? That you're willing to put it on the inside of your heart? That you're willing to hold on to faith in spite of adversity? That you're willing to believe when doubt's knocking you in the head, but you're holding on to faith? What will you hide? One of the greatest stories in the Bible, most of us would say, is Rahab the prostitute. You have, and just for the sake of time, I'm sure I'll jump around for a few scriptures. But in Joshua chapter 2, verse 4, you have these two men, these two spies that have came into Rahab's house. And then you have some officials, some men of war from the city, and they're going to Rahab's house, and they're pretty much trying to find these two guys so they can bring them out and kill them. And the Bible says, but the woman had taken the two men, the woman is Rahab here, but the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax that she had laid out on the roof. Verse 7, so the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. These men are coming saying, listen, bring out the spies. We know they're there. Bring out the opposition. We know they're there. Rahab, we're not asking you if they're there. We know they're there. And they're saying, bring them out so that we can take them and bring them back with us and no doubt kill them. And the very first thing Rahab said is, listen, I don't know where they're at. Yes, they came. That's the truth. But I don't know where they went to. I don't know their plans, because she was trying to take the enemy and throw them off the trail. The Bible says that she had taken them up on the roof and hidden them in the stalks. The first thing that you and I have to do when God gives us a promise, when God gives us a word, is we have to be willing to be truthful with ourselves. We have to be willing to not try to convince ourselves of certain things. We have to be willing to deal in reality. These men came to Rahab. These men came to Rahab, and she knew that God had already given them victory over her and over the people of the city. Bible says in verse 8, before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all that who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. Verse 10, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for when you come out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. Rahab was in a position that she had to deal with the truth. She hid these men from God because she knew the truth. She knew that they were going to be victorious. She knew that God was going to be with them. And the Bible is extremely clear, and it says Rahab knew that the Lord had given them victory. Rahab had a personal relationship with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, today, if you want to hide your dreams, if you want to hide a word that God's given to you, if you want to hide something so precious to you that you don't want the enemy to come and take it, or you don't want to hear other people talk bad about it, then the first thing that you and I have to do is we have to be truthful. And right after we're truthful with ourselves, we have to be willing to go into action. You see, Rahab didn't leave the men in her living room and hope that the men of the city didn't go into her living room. She didn't leave the men in the closet. She went into action. She took them up on her roof and she hid them in the stalks. She made sure they were covered. She made sure that if they were going to be discovered, it was going to be hard for the enemy. You see, sometimes you and I can't share our vision and our plans and our ideas with just anybody. Because a lot of people don't understand what God's speaking to you. A lot of people don't understand what God has promised to you and me. And if they don't understand it, one of the things that they'll do a lot of times is they'll knock it. I tell our kids all the time, sometimes when kids are mean, or sometimes kids are bullies, or sometimes kids are violent or whatever it may be, a lot of times it's because they're scared, or they're jealous, or they're worried, or they don't know how to handle their emotions. And so they act out in violence, or they act out making fun of somebody or speaking against something that you may or may not have or want to do. And it's the same with us in the kingdom. How many times has God did something for you, or you saw God heal somebody, and you saw God perform a promise or a miracle that he's shown you, and immediately somebody will come by and say it's a coincidence, or somebody will come by and say, yeah, that would have happened whether you prayed or not. You see, the enemy's really, really good at knocking down our hopes and our dreams. And the enemy's really, really good at convincing us that or ridiculing us when we hide our sin, or we hide our doubts and our worries. He makes us feel bad about it. He brings condemnation. But when we hide the promises of God, when we hide something important to us because we know God's going to do it, then the enemy will sure enough attack it. But if you and I will deal in truth and deal in action, then that's when our plans and our dreams and our hopes can be protected. The Bible goes on to say that the men, the two spies, they're talking to Rahab the prostitute, and she, and I'll just summarize once again for the sake of time. She says, listen, I know that you are exactly who that you say that you are. I know God's with you. I know that you're going to take over this city, but because I've shown you kindness today, I want you to show me kindness when you guys invade the city. The Bible says that she lets them out with a rope. She lived in the city wall. And they said, okay, this will be the bond between you and me. You get your mom, your dad, your whole family in here, and you put a scarlet cord on the outside of your window. But if you don't put this scarlet cord on the outside of your window, and if you don't honor the things that you've said, that you've told us that you're going to do, this bond will be broken. No doubt Rahab was grateful to the men. She was scared. She was worried. We read the story like it was an easy thing that Rahab got rid of the two men of the city trying to come find the spies. But I want to challenge you today and to know and challenge myself today that when we hide something for God, when we hide a promise for God, sometimes it's in the face of the enemy. Sometimes it's in the face of fear and worry and doubt. Why are we so good at hiding our sin and not hiding a promise from God? Why, I'll say for me, why am I so good at hiding condemnation, or why am I so good at hiding fear and I'm not as good as hiding a promise that God's told me? The answer is because it's a whole lot easier to hide fear in sin. I can hide it easily because I practice it more times. I'm a whole lot better at something that I practice more times than not than I am hiding, you know, faith and belief. Rahab in the face of death. Rahab in the face of her family, no doubt getting put in jail, if not killed, was willing to hide the spies. She was willing to go into action. She was willing to go into truth. And the Bible is extremely clear. When they made a bond together, the spy said, listen, if you do this, then we'll do that. And Rahab promised to do these things. But Rahab was so skilled. Rahab was such a woman of honor that she was not only looking to save herself. Today, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that when you follow God, when you hide the promises of God in your heart, it will not only benefit you. It'll benefit your family and your friends and your church and those around you. The Bible says that Rahab brought in her cousins and her family, her mom and dad, her grandparents, all that were close to her. And ultimately, when the children of Israel came in, and the war happened, they saved Rahab because they saw the scarlet cord, because she was willing to hide the people, because she was willing in the face of adversity to hide. She was willing in the face of adversity to believe the word of God. Last night we had a volleyball game, and I know I talk about this all the time, but man, God keeps speaking to me through these little girls. We had a volleyball game, 9 and 10 year old. We're playing. We're almost through the first set, and the opposing team, we had hit the ball over or whatever, and these two girls collided. And I thought, you know, maybe one of them got a bruised elbow. I don't know. You know, it didn't look that bad. But ultimately speaking, they had to call 911. They had to bring in a stretcher because this one girl was complaining about her spine, and they were trying to keep her neck still. You're talking about a somber moment where everything was going good. Everything was fun. You know, the game was exciting. We were on a run. We were up a few points, and everything seemed to be going really, really good until one moment, until one instance, everything changed. These two young ladies, 9 or 10 years old, laid on the ground crying, and everybody's, you know, frantic and trying to do what they need to do. And we all took a knee, and I look over, and my little 9 and 10 year old volleyball team, with my son and his little friend Parker, are on their knees leading a prayer. Not that I told them to lead. Not that I said, okay, guys, you go pray. Okay, guys, I want you to say these words for this little girl. Okay, guys, I want you to join together and pray a prayer of faith. Guys, I want you to do this. No, it was the most beautiful thing I've probably ever seen in my life, because they didn't know anything else to do but to pray. They weren't ashamed of what they were doing. They weren't scared of what they were doing. And it comes to find out, Isabel and this other little girl are the ones that led the prayers. And my daughter is absolutely terrified to pray in public. Never in my life have I heard her pray in front of a lot of people like that. But in the middle of adversity, in the middle of something happening that I didn't even know was possible, that I didn't even in my wildest dreams think that was going to happen, I saw these 8, 10, 12 little kids praying to the God of heaven that these little girls would be okay. And I don't have a report on that girl this morning, but I'm telling you, the prayer of faith that those little girls and two young men prayed, I know that little girl's okay. I know both of them are okay. I don't even have to get a report because I saw God intervene in a situation. Because these little kids were willing to be like Rahab and they were willing to hide their faith. And when the time came, they were willing to express their faith. And but brothers and sisters, today I can tell you when you read the genealogy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, read it carefully because you'll read the lady's name, Rahab. You see, Rahab was not just the prostitute like we call her. Rahab was a woman of faith. She was a woman of the same genealogy as my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because she was willing to hide truth in her heart. When the time came for her to express it, it forever changed the course of history. I want you to know today that you are like Rahab. You have the power to change the course of history. You have the power to save your family and friends and loved ones. You have the power to save something precious on the inside of you, that when the time comes, you can be the one that prays that prayer of faith. You can be the one that intervenes for God and watch God perform on your behalf. I saw it less than 12 hours ago. I saw, or maybe 14 hours ago, I saw kids pray and I saw people be inspired. I know because those little kids prayed, my life will forever be changed. Why did those kids pray? Because their parents and grandparents, family and friends had instilled on the inside of them something holy and something perfect and something righteous. That in the face of being scared and worried and confused and not knowing what to do next, not knowing how to react, not knowing how to handle their emotions, they didn't get on the floor and cried. They got on the floor and prayed. They didn't get on the floor and give up. They got on the floor and prayed. They weren't scared to continue the game because they knew the same God that they were praying to was the very same God that would rescue them. He is exactly who He says He is. He's good all by Himself. Brother Kevin gave a testimony of his dad doing better, and I'm telling you that by lunch today, he's going to be doing better and better. You have the power of life and death on the inside of you. Speak and watch God perform, but you got to hide His truth in your heart. You got to hide what He's done for you in your heart, that at the right time when He tells you to let go of it, that you are willing to go into action, that I am willing to go into action. Some people may not know. They may call her Rahab the prostitute, and that doesn't bother me. And I promise you that don't bother her because she knew that she saved her family. She knew that she saved some generations. She knew that the God that told her that these men were going to be victorious was the same God that would rescue her because she was willing to hide a couple spies. I want to challenge us today and ask us, what are we willing to hide? Will you hold on to something God told you even though it's not happened yet? Will I believe God for my finances even though I don't see it happening quite yet? I want you to know, brothers and sisters, today that child will be saved. I want you to know that grandchild or grandparents, they will be saved. Hide His truth in your heart. And just like Rahab, go into action. And just like Rahab, believe. And just like Rahab, deal with truth. But at the very end of the day, be just like Rahab. And believe God in spite of everything else. I love that Rahab put out a scarlet cord, obviously foreshadowing Jesus' death. The blood of Jesus is from Genesis all the way through Revelation. It makes us more than overcomers. We have a testimony that you and I need to share. But the first step is hiding the truth, hiding the word in our heart until God tells us to let loose of it. A few little girls and a couple of young men forever changed my life last night. I asked Isabel about it late last night before bed. And I said, Isabel, you're the one that prayed? Because I didn't know who prayed. I mean, it was so organic. It was beautiful. And I think Joshua, one of them, had told me. And I was like, what? And she didn't really want to talk about it because she was a little embarrassed and a little scared. Because that was her natural self. But I thank God that she has something on the inside of her that she hid until God told it to come out. And you have that power. You have that. Let's pray. God, I thank you today. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in this call that will hear this message, Lord. I thank you for what's on the inside of each one of them. I thank you, God, that no matter how the world labels us, that even a lot of us, myself included, label Rahab as the prostitute, but you don't call her that. Oh, God. You don't call her Rahab the prostitute. You call her family. Dear God, you call her family. And Lord, because of all the things that you've done for us, you call me family. God, you call my brothers and sisters family. And I thank you today for everything that you've done and God, even everything that you're going to do. And I thank you beforehand of the good report I'm going to get of those little girls. God, I thank you that her spine is fine. I thank you that her body is fine. I thank you, God, that there is a supernatural healing that took place last night. I thank you for protecting us and I thank you for keeping us. I thank you that your grace and your mercy is more than sufficient. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. We pray these things by faith in you, believing them to be already done because of your grace and your goodness. And we pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.